Welcome to Artists and Ancestors, the podcast where we explore ways to research and understand the past. Whether you're a local historian, genealogist, or just interested in the everyday creative lives of people from the past, this podcast is for you. I'm John Kay, the host of Artisan Ancestors. Hello and welcome to this episode 27 of Artisan Ancestors, Historic Photographs and Material Culture Research. I'm going to continue my work with trying to just tell you some of my ideas about research methods. One of the things I've been working with lately and really enjoying the process of is historic photographic research and how it can reflect the construction, use, and changes in material culture. That is pottery, baskets, furniture, lots of things like that. So you might ask yourself, why should someone be interested in these old photographs that include maybe just a basket in it or a piece of stoneware when it's not really the main focus of the photograph? The reason, I would say, is because it has to do with being able to reflect the everyday use of objects from the past. It's one thing to have the object, but by having the photograph, you actually are able to capture this kind of frozen moment in time when that object was being used or displayed or the context that surrounds it. So the fact that images can reflect, they're not always direct transcriptions of, but they can reflect the kind of everyday use of objects. It's really powerful for material culture scholarship. The second thing is it manifests the temporal and spatial variations in crafts. That is, how crafts change over time and how crafts have changed or are diverse over distance. And so you can start looking at images from the 1890s of a quilt, and then you can go and look at quilts from the 1940s and 50s and see changes. You could look at the actual quilts and see that. But the other thing you can do is how people interact with those objects. In the 1940s, it might be on a bed cover. By the 1980s, it's hanging on the wall. Changes in attitudes towards these objects. Other thing that is really important to remember is that these historic photographs are also might live longer than the actual objects. And there are ways for recording the kind of aesthetic values embedded in objects. I think about a lot of Native American work that maybe has survived. I think about a painting, not a photograph, but a painting of a gourd banjo from the early 1800s. Earliest image of this type of instrument, and it was recorded. We wouldn't know anything about that earliest era if it hadn't been recorded in a drawing, in a painting. So photographs are able to do the same thing. Illustrations just in general are able to do that. But photographs have this kind of appearance of being a transcription of reality. Whether they are or not, that's for a much longer podcast. The other thing is, especially images from the early 20th century with artisans, often capture people doing things. Became very very fashionable to put things into kind of a natural context. And I think about a lot of work of potters turning pottery. I've been working on this gourd artist up here in Indiana from the 1920s and 30s, and lots of images of him with his pocket knife and working on some gourds, trying to actually kind of capture the artist at work. Same thing with Native American pottery. You see that quite a bit as well. Even the Federal Emergency Relief Administration had several images of African Americans making oak baskets to work in the in different agricultural productions. Not to mention such works as like Alan Eaton's Handicrafts of the Southern Highlands, which actually includes several portraits of artists at work in them. So by now you're thinking, "Oh, okay, this could be pretty good. I could see maybe trying to do this." Oh, I don't have any pictures. But where do you find these pictures? First of all, look online. Many repositories like the American Memory Project at the Library of Congress, great resource for a lot of local photographs. The other thing, check your state historical society or historical bureau and see what they have. Some of those repositories might be online. You might actually have to make a trip in, which is my second point, at local museums, archives, and historical societies, both local, regional, state, and federal. You have to work at all those different levels. The other thing that I've used a lot is newspapers. You can look at microfiche, microfilm, and look at newspapers from the area that you're trying to research and see what is there. Sometimes you're able to actually capture some images of folks that way. Periodicals and period books are another source of information, or local history books that were published in earlier times. But I think probably the place where you're going to find most fruitful material is actually going to be in private collections. And I'm here to say you have to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You're not going to find them until you do. And the power of looking and the power of asking is pretty amazing. We've talked about that several times on the podcast in the past, is the fact that just asking for these things, it's amazing what comes up. And now with social media, Facebook, Twitter, email lists, forums, it's easier to ask than ever. So let me add one more place to search, and it's probably a place you're not going to think of normally, is eBay. I've found several wonderful images on eBay. You usually pay way too much for them. But if you find that image that is exactly what you're looking for, it's priceless. And you don't always have to buy them. I'll often will create a screen capture of the page, which has all the metadata or the information about the piece on there. I don't feel like I have to own it, although having a nice high quality scan of them would be really nice. But looking at some online auctions might be a great source of finding some more photographs that are in the area that you want to research. So what types of things can we be looking for? Well, the research that I'm doing right now is on a type of basketry from southern Indiana. It's called oak rod baskets. And I've been asked to do a poster for the American Folklore Society meeting down in New Orleans this fall. And so I'm pulling together all the photographs that I've been collecting over all these years. And I'm realizing that it's quite a few. And there's little bits of information, little tidbits of information that are embedded in each one of these photographs. They tell you how people reacted to or how people felt about those objects. Moving from everything from the oak rod baskets underneath the tables at a church potluck or a family reunion. A local artist carrying the basket in the 1940s showed that there was already this kind of anti-modern feeling of having this market basket that they were working with. Several images of people making these baskets as well survive. We're at a time when this basket tradition is pretty much gone, and there's very few who remember the old-time makers of it. So if you want to try to get to the reality of these baskets, if you want to try to get to how these baskets existed in the world, you're really going to have to try to elicit this data from the images that are there, the images that are at your hands. So once you've got all these images, I've been around enough to know that everyone's got a shoebox or a folder or a file folder with all this information in it. How do you deal with this? How do you change it from images into data? And one of the ways you do that is just by assigning what's called metadata that I mentioned earlier. That's information about information. So if the image is full of information, you have to transcribe that. You have to write that down. You have to try to make sure you document that image. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But once you've kind of gone through and put down everything you know about that image, there'd probably be some ways of organizing your collection that kind of come out. And I use the word collection very loosely. It's not a collection like what would be in a museum, but it's your research holding. So it could be housed in lots of different institutions, but it's what you're using for your research project, for your research question. So one way that you might be able to organize those images is by date. There's lots of ways that you can date photographs, by clothing, by photographic process. Maybe you know somebody who's in the image and you can know about when it is based upon their age. So if you can tell that you've got an image from the late 1800s and you've got one from the 1940s, you probably want to try to put those maybe at both ends of your spectrum, and then you start filling in. And I think a big table with your pictures, maybe not working with the originals, but maybe printouts of them where you kind of just move them around until you think you've got them close to the order that they would be in. And then you can structure that way. That provides a nice temporal or timeline-based set of information for you to start working with and looking at these over time. The other thing is geographic spread. The baskets I'm interested in are primarily in Brown County, but there are also some in Monroe County, and there are also some in Jackson County, kind of two neighboring counties here in Indiana. And most people think, oh, they're just Brown County baskets, but really it kind of moved across lines. Maybe looking at them spatially will actually help give some information about that. Also, the style of basket that I'm researching was originally brought from Pennsylvania, and there's a tradition of it also in Ohio. This kind of oak rod construction is really distinctive, but you might be able to look at it comparatively to the way they were made in Pennsylvania, the way they were made in Ohio, and then look at your Indiana collection as well. Then the other part is trying to look at the construction of the baskets. You know, which of your images actually show aspects of the basket that kind of tell you something about how it was made. You might even have some images of people doing construction of an object. One that I'm most excited about is the use of objects. How did people who engaged with these artifacts over time use them? Sometimes that use is purely utilitarian. They're using them to gather corn, if we're going to continue talking about the baskets, or they're going to use them to go to the market with. But then also sometimes things take on nostalgic or touristic uses as well. And so if you can try to approach them with a kind of an open mind, is this image really telling me what I think it's trying to say, or is it saying something different? Sometimes things can appear to be very straightforward, and then when you start scratching the surface, you realize how constructed and staged that picture is. And I've written about this, and I'll link this in the show notes, in my article that I wrote called A Photograph of an Old Country Store, which you can get for free from Museum Anthropology Review, and I'll provide a link to that. And this really kind of talks about the kind of display use of objects. Sometimes old things had a second life as something that could be staged or presented as a sign of anti-modernism or of nostalgia or of local pride, local place making, you might say. So try to keep that in mind when you're looking at these objects. So organize these things by what these objects are doing might be a way of looking at it. To recap, you could look at the timeline, the geographic spread, the construction methods, the use of the object, and then also display, which is also a type of use. Now that we've talked about where to find these images and how to organize them, let's move into some straightforward research methods. And this is kind of like metadata collection as well, is just a photo inventory. Basically, write down everything that you see in the image. Sometimes it's not until you really look on this kind of very investigative scale that you really start to see what the picture has in it. Who's that person looking out the window? What's that basket doing there? Was it needed for something? Did it have something in it? So start inventorying things and thinking about how it fits with everything else about it. Does it make sense? Thinking about one photograph that I had of a basket maker. And once I started inventorying it, I saw he was wearing his dress coat, his dress hat. Then he had logs at his feet. He had his tools for doing in his hand. He had a basket sitting beside him. And I realized the whole display was totally staged, which isn't wrong, but it's important to realize what was happening. They were bringing everything in so that the image told a very particular story that the photographer was trying to capture. So inventorying things. Make sure you're attending to everything that's in the picture. Both people and inanimate objects, animals, all those sorts of things. That leads into the next one, which is kind of context analysis, which we've been talking about all the way along. Consider the reasons why the image was made. Okay, what was the picture being taken of and why? One of the images I'm working with is of a family in Brown County that was living a very hard scrabble life. And it shows a basket full of corn, relatively new basket. It still looked like it was hardly being used. And then the family standing at the doorway of the cabin. And why was that picture being taken? What was the context of that picture? Basically, it was an image about poverty. Another image that I'm working with is of a man dressed up like this rural clown character named Abe Martin. And they have a spinning wheel, double yoke for oxen, and a basket, an old rope bed, all shoved into the picture. And obviously, this is about 1909 or so. The basket is a sign of ruralness at that point. But then, like the baskets that were being used in daily life, like the food being carried to a church potluck, that's an important thing to kind of notice. So you have both those things where items are staged because of its ruralness and nostalgia, and then places where they're actually being used in everyday life, and trying to sift those out. So you inventory the images so you can kind of look at the reasons why those images were made. So once you've kind of inventoried your photo and kind of established what you see as the kind of contextual analysis, what's going on in that image, don't just rely on yourself. Ask other people. Maybe you might be able to find some locals who used this object or knew the maker. Have them look at the photo. Have them tell you what they see. Try not to lead them too much. You know, listen to them. They're going to see things that you don't see. They're going to offer perspectives that maybe you won't do. This is photo elicitation or photo inventorying. John Collier, a famous anthropologist and photographer, wrote about using this method. Once you've talked with locals and maybe other people from the families that you're working with, you can also turn to artists. Maybe you might find someone else from that family that continues that traditional art. Or you might talk with artists that are not from that local community or from that direct tradition, but they're going to look at the basket, or they're going to look at the jug or the quilt, and they're going to see things. They're going to look at the images of them, and they're going to notice things about the image as well as the object that the image captured. They're going to notice things about that that they can share with you. Also, no one can be an expert in everything. And so I'm constantly trying to find out who are the other people in the know, who are the other scholars who are interested in these types of topics, and maybe you can share your findings with them and have them tell you what they think about them. So I think that would be the next steps. There's a lot more to this methodology of researching photographs, and I'll tell you more about it as I get deeper into my research. As I develop this poster session for the American Folklore Society. But I think the main thing you do with all of your research is to come up with a research question. So you've collected all these photographs, you've inventoried them, you've asked people about them, but if you don't have a question that you're asking, what good does it do? Amassing this additional information is good, I guess, for historical reasons. But if you're not trying to answer a question, who says that there'll be anybody that cares about this information in the future? And so I kind of came up with my own work of trying to understand what is the work of the object in a photograph? What is it that the object is doing there? And trying to come to a better understanding of the kind of multiple ways that objects can be deployed, not just as utilitarian crafts, but also as icons of culture and identity markers. And trying to be careful not to impose that as much, but looking to see where and how I find that in objects. So having a good research question is really important to making all of this happen. So here's your challenge. If you're researching someone, get out those old photographs. Sit down, look at those images real closely. Try to figure out what's going on in those images. Who took those images? Why? Go through, create an inventory. What all is in that image? See if you find out something else that's going on. Think about the context of its creation. And see if you can come up with what your primary research question is. What is it that you want to know about the creative lives of people from the past? And are photographs going to help you answer that? Well, that's my podcast for today. Running a little bit short today, but I hope that there's been something in this that you can work with. Let me know that you're listening out there. I'd love to get some more ideas from folks about what their interests are, what they're working on. If you have any ideas of folks that you'd like for me to interview, let me know. One of the things I've been quite excited about is the international aspects of the podcast and the fact that we do have listeners from all over the world. Been emailing with folks in Turkey and folks in Australia. In fact, I should do a big shout out to the folks at the Genies Down Under podcast. I want to thank Maria Northcote for giving Artists and Ancestors such a good plug on her podcast. And we've already emailed with each other and talked about maybe reciprocating a little bit. And she also helped encourage me to start trying to publish a little more regular. I hadn't realized I'd gone almost a full year without an episode. So now we're back on schedule a little bit. And hopefully if I'm doing a few more of these and include a few interviews, you all will enjoy it. Well, that's it for this episode of the Artist and Ancestor podcast. And until the next time, remember, keep up your research of the creative lives of everyday people. You've been listening to Artisan Ancestors, with music by Martin Simpson and hosted by John Kay.